Hey, Chris, are you there?
Yeah.
Thanks for being patient, man. I appreciate it.
That's okay.
We're all, smoking a cigarette, getting our shit together here.
Yeah, I'm just about to open a new pack.
It's a good time to smoke.
I smoke every day, all day. I smoke like two packs a day.
I know. We were just talking. It's basically... I mean, I haven't stopped smoking. I've been smoking for many, many years, but when I saw David that was in October, I was smoking around him, and then he smoked a cigarette with me, and I felt bad about it. he had quit for a number of years.
Yeah.
For 2.5 years or something like that, but I had been smoking during an ayahuasca ceremony. And so it wasn't completely unheard of for me to smoke, but I feel like it's a good thing to actually get to a true place of balance with. I have kind of an ideal that I would like to set forward. I was really inspired by Diary of a Drug Fiend by Aleister Crowley on his, kind of this ultimate way of approaching substances that is extremely challenging and rare to actually see that, put into place in any authentic way.
Everybody I meet, because everybody, all I do is talk about Aleister Crowley some days, and everybody I meet, it's because I read a Diary of a Drug Fiend, but like, have you read any of his other magical work? No. But everybody's read that. I've never read it.
I've probably read 30 books or something by Aleister Crowley.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I got really into him for a number of years. But that is still actually one of my favorites. It's one of his first published works, I believe. It might even actually be his first published work, if I'm not mistaken. I know it's definitely his first novel. I mean, he didn't have that many, and Moonchild and that. But I really like that. But it does kind of set up kind of an ideal approach to substances that it's very, very rare to actually see that embodied in any real way. He's proposing in there.
I'm pretty straight edge now. I smoke cigarettes, and that's about it. Don't do anything. I did pop Oxycontin the other night, though.
Nah.
My friend had it, and I was like, fuck it.
Have either of you ever read Moonchild? I've never read it.
Nope. I don't even know if I have it.
I did. It's, I was just considering reading it again, because it's been so long. It's got the classic, white and black lodges. It's also very, simplistic, maybe over simplistic in its representation. He is like that when it comes to like novel writing. He's much different than if he's writing poetry or writing prose, but I really like that book. It's weird.
Yeah, I just picked up the Equinox a couple months ago. I found it in a bookstore. I try reading. Most of the time when I try reading Aleister Crowley, it just blows my mind, like, and I can't wrap my head around it. But you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like some of the shit he says is just so profound. So I get like lost in a couple pages, and I'm like, I'm done. I'm done for today.
Yeah, he's got a great sense of humor. That's whenever he comes up with my rabbi, that's my rabbi's general response to him, is that he's got a really great sense of humor, which I think a lot of what he puts out there, people don't even recognize that what he's doing is making a very psychedelic joke, a cult psychedelic. He's like one of the original psychedelic weirdos without psychedelics, he's just naturally like that to some degree, his mind works.
Like 2 weeks ago I was in Starbucks where my girlfriend works, and they got really comfy chairs, and I sit in that comfy chair, and I'm just like on my phone, and my middle finger says 666 on it, and I'm typing on my phone. This guy sitting next to me, he goes, "What does that mean?" And I was like, "Well, it's the number of the sun." He's like, "What are you talking about?" I'm like, "There's this thing called the magic square, and it's the number of the sun. And the number of the beast is really 616 in the Bible, if you follow it correctly." And he was a Christian, I could tell. And he was like, oh. And then I told him the Aleister Crowley story about when he was in court. And they asked him, was he the Beast? Why does he call himself the Beast 666? You heard that story, right?
Oh, of course, yeah. You can just call me Little Sunshine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And every time I tell somebody that, even if they're a Christian, they laugh. It's really funny.
Yeah.
A great sense of humor.
Yeah. That's been a big subject on the show. I don't know how much you've listened to our crazy ramblings on here in the past, but that number has come up a whole hell of a lot over the course of time. And so
we've also been talking about magic squares a lot the last few weeks.
Yeah, in particular, yeah. I've seen that as like a kind of the cornerstone of the Tower of Babel, which gets replicated in Solomon's Temple as like kind of the format to which the building is represented, at least the dynamics of the building, if that makes any sense. So, and laying the squares within each other. There's a way that you can fold the Babylonian magic squares to form cylinders. I don't know if you've ever seen that before. I saw a Protestant guy represent it, and it totally blew my mind, where you actually can create a spiral because they connect around the back, oddly enough. Not only like, you know, if you count the numbers and get all the 111s to equal the 666 with the Babylonian sun square, but you can actually place the squares within each other and form larger to smaller spirals with the numbers. They're like steps. And so I've seen that at least as symbolically representing the tower. I believe that is the meaning of the tower, actually, is that there's kind of this set template to which it's arrayed. And so I find that incredibly interesting.
Yeah.
Of course.
Okay.
No, please, you.
A lot of synchronicity went out of my life for a while. You there?
Yeah.
Okay. A lot of the synchronicities went out of my life for a while, and they weren't there. It was really weird on my girlfriend's birthday, which is the same day as Grant Morrison's birthday. It's 1/31, and we went to go to New Jersey for her birthday to go see the Comic Book Men at the Secret Stash. You know, you familiar with that?
Is that Jane Silent Bob's old shop?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah,
and
yeah, yeah.
They have a show called Comic Book Men, and Walt Flanagan and Brian Johnson and all of them are on it. And they also have a podcast called Tell 'em Steve Dave. And we went in Starbucks and we got some drinks, and it came to 666. And I was like, there we go. That's a start to a good day. And then we went and got in the car, and my girlfriend had recorded their last podcast. She didn't know what it was. She just recorded it, and she had it on a disc, and she put it in there, and the subject was Satanism. It was their podcast, and they talked all about Satanism and stuff, but they mostly talk about, like, Levian Satanism, and they didn't really mention Crowley, and I was starting to get pissed off. And I'm like, why don't they mention Aleister Crowley at some point in this show? And then this fucking truck pulls up next to us while we're riding on the highway. I took a picture of it. I got it on my blog, and it says Crowley on the side of it.
Is that, like, a dairy truck? Because I've started seeing in the last few years, yeah, like a Crowley...
Yeah.
I think it's like they sell ice cream and milk and stuff like that.
And yeah, when I met... Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, and then when I first saw that, I put a picture on Facebook, and Jason Brer pointed out, you know, there's that one Crowleyan sigil where it looks almost like a... It looks actually like a dick and balls, but it's kind of like an ice cream cone.
Yeah, that's kind of like what I was going for when I did my sink bomb. I used to have sink bombs. It looks like a bomb. It looks like a dick. Put like a little slit in the front of it.
Yeah.
So it looked phallic. But later on that day, we got there and I talked to them. They wanted me to be on their show to talk about the occult. But I never went through. But I went to a bookstore, and that's where I found Equinox that same day. And then I went to a restaurant to eat, and they sat us in this table, and they had a pitcher of Yeats, you know, and him and Crowley had all that shit where they were battling each other with demons and whatnot. I thought that was fucking weird. You know what I mean? You heard that story before, right?
I'm trying to recollect.
William Butler Yeats, I think, the poet.
Uh-huh, yeah, I'm familiar with Yeats. I can't remember.
He was in, I think they were both in the Golden Dawn at the time, and they butted heads, and Yeats hated Crowley, and then they basically battled with magic, like demons and shit.
Uh-huh.
like Pokemon.
Right. I was thinking of the end of that. There's another Sword in the Stone ends with the witch and the wizard or something, or two wizards battling it out. One will like turn into a dragon. The other one will, they just, I don't know.
That's the only Disney movie I like.
I like Sleeping Beauty a lot. I see Sleeping Beauty.
I've never seen it.
Yeah, that one's pretty good. Symbolically speaking, like, it's all the rose symbolism I just love. He has to battle his way through the thorns to get to the rose. It's like the a pack of Pall Malls, the Latin on the front. It's that through the adversity, you reach the stars. Through the thorns, you reach the rose, you know.
Hold on. Why did you say it's like a packet of Pall Malls?
Because a pack of Pall Malls has that in Latin on the front. It's like through...
Has what?
That saying, it's like a Latin phrase. It's got two things written on the front of a pack of Pall Malls. One of them is that, like Marlboro has vidi vidi dirci, or I might be saying that wrong, but it's the Caesar says, "We came, we saw, we conquered," which like gets said in Ghostbusters, as "We came, we saw, we kicked its ass," which is. I'm saying that because Ghostbusters is all centered around smoking. That's the joke of that. That's what's crossed out of the ghost is smoke. And then smoke is protection in the land of the dead. So it's like kind of a really ironic joke. I was thinking about Pall Malls recently because in Rosemary's Baby, that's what Guy is smoking. So her husband smokes Pall Malls, and Pall Malls literally like croquet. It's what they're playing in Alice in Wonderland at the end with flamingos. So
that's weird. Like 2-3 years ago, when I was doing a lot of spiritual work, I was trying to contact ghosts and shit. And I tried to contact the ghost of my grandfather. And my grandfather used to smoke Pall Malls. We would sit there and we would smoke and just talk about shit and whatnot. And I was watching Ghost with Patrick Swayze. And when he's in the 42 subway, and the guy's trying to teach him how to touch stuff and push it and stuff, he kicks the cigarette machine and Pall Malls fall out.
Mm.
It was just really weird. Yeah.
Really weird. It has a quote from Constantine. I believe it's Constantine where, and so you have on the front of a pack of Pall Malls, you have the guy who spread Christianity by force, you know, like, where he's saying by this sign or something. I'm trying to remember. He sees, he has a vision of a cross with the sun behind it at its center. Uh-huh. And he, basically has some, it's like, by this sign, we will conquer something. I forget how it goes, but it's Constantine's vision, so it's kind of interesting.
Now, I've never seen that.
You obviously have there's the cigarette advertising angle. So is it BY by this sign or BUY by this sign?
Uh-huh.
But to keep it more on track here, there was the movie Constantine or the comic book Constantine, where you have this character going into the underworld, right? His whole thing is that there are ghosts or demons that carry over into the human world, and only certain people can see them. Have you ever seen the movie Constantine?
Yeah, I have. Nope. A while ago when it first came out, I'm trying to remember. I saw in a Sync video they were covering Constantine. They were bringing up something with was it Archangel Gabriel? I'm trying to remember. There was like, they were talking about the Eye of Providence or something and connecting it to the Archangel and saying that it was, you know, more correct than they may have even known in terms of the level of how they were portraying the Archangel kind of.
You guys ever watch Supernatural?
Never seen it.
Yeah, they got a character in there named Crowley, and he's the king of hell. He's the king of hell. His name's Crowley. It's really weird. Like, the one dude's a vessel for Lucifer, and the other dude's a vessel for Gabriel, and they want their bodies to possess. It's really weird.
What?
Like, all the angels fall at one point, and then all the angels are living on Earth because they get kicked out of heaven. It's really weird. Use sigils constantly.
This is basically the conversation I wanted to have with you, so I'm really glad we're going in this direction. I just want to throw out... everyone else that I've tried to get to watch this, no one has been interested. Chris, you might find this interesting. There is... You mentioned Pokemon, the magical Pokemon, but there is a Japanese cartoon called Cardcaptor Sakura. Have you ever seen this? Well, the whole thing, she has to collect these tarot cards, and she has these magical circles and all this sort of stuff. And the cards, you find out as the show goes on, the cards were designed by this guy named Crow, C-R-O-W, last name Reed, R-E-E-D. Well, if you're familiar, so this is obviously a Japanese cartoon. In Asiatic languages, the R and the L is interchangeable. There's actually no R or L sound. It's a sound that's kind of in the middle. They don't have two distinct sounds.
Well, so
this is
sense.
This is why people always make, you know, these like racist jokes like, mm-hmm. oh, fried rice or, you know, whatever the fuck,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So, but it's because there is, it's a letter, their sound is in between those two and they don't have two distinct ones. So you might see, like it's very common for Korean people have the last name Lee, or Ree, R-E-E. It's the same last name. Things like that. So realizing that, you're watching this cartoon where the master magician who made these things and who ends up in the later season being like this character, his name is Crow Reed.
Which is actually the correct pronunciation of Crowley also. It's not, yeah. it is Crowley.
It's Crowley.
Yes.
Right. Well,
I got a cat named Crowley. I call him Crowley instead of Crowley.
Well, okay, and you just pointed out that I'm actually saying it wrong. The character's name is Clo, C-L-O-W.
Mm.
But I'm getting to the point, if you actually switch the L's and the R's, the character's name would be Crow Lee instead of Clo Reed. It's Crow Lee, and I'm like, oh my god, this is so obviously intentional, and it was just a really good cartoon. I don't know, and I keep trying to tell people to watch it. I doubt anyone would want to watch it. It's like a, you know, Japanese cartoon about little girl learning magic, but it's so esoteric and so meaningful. Like the way she has to kind of get some of these darker forces or darker archetypes and has to kind of tame them or integrate them or different things and learn. She's kind of like learning the whole thing. And the last episode for me really defines the idea of what it means when it's love is the law, love under will. I mean, the last episode really does a great job. It doesn't come out and say that, but this is what she's learning. And she has this little like kind of Pokemon thing that helps her. It's called the Guardian of the cards, like the tarot cards, and it's this lion beast thing. So it's obviously, and it gets its power from the sun, and it's like, oh, okay, it's like this is very intentional, and it was just really enjoyable. So, and it's something you could probably watch with your kids because it's kind of kid level, and at the same time, if you know what they're saying, it's highly adult.
Yeah, I tried to become tarot cards before. I tried to become the archetypes. And I only really made it through the Fool. And it fucked me up bad enough. It really made me go crazy. I wound up in the mental institution for the third time that time. It was weird. But you remember my story about the second time I was in the mental institution, right? I went to go get my medicine. And it's in the sync book. When I went to get my medicine, there was like medicine bins with like Myers and like all these names. And one of the names was Crowley. I was like, wow. There's only like 12 of us in there.
It's pretty wild. So if you want to go there, what happened to you recently, man?
I went through my girlfriend's computer, found a bunch of shit I didn't like. Found one thing, and then I was going to kill myself for like 2 weeks. I kept saying I was going to kill myself, and nobody really believed me. They were just like, all right, whatever. And then I found more stuff on like last Thursday. And I drank everything in my house. And I told her I was going to kill myself. I didn't tell anybody else. And I had 40 sleeping pills, and I didn't get a chance to take the sleeping pills because she came home and called the cops, and they arrested me, threw me in the back of a paddy wagon, took me to the mental institution. I got there, my blood alcohol level was 3.8, and they said at my size, there's no way I should be living, basically. So I almost was successful. But I've been 3.8, so I don't think I have to drink anymore.
Right.
I could just say that. They'd be like, you don't drink? I'd be like, dude, I've drank till I was 3.8. What the fuck are you talking about? But the weirdest thing was I was thinking about that 3.8, and I was like, it would be really cool to get a 3.8 synchronicity. And I was like, but I don't – that's fucking impossible, right? Like, that doesn't sound like that would happen, you know? So the other day I go in the bar. After I got out, I went in the bar. I got a water and a Sprite. I went to take a piss, and I'm looking on top of the toilets, and it says 3.8 on it. I was like, what the fuck? I took a picture of it and put it on Facebook. It was weird. But, like, it was weird. I hadn't seen any yellow balloons. You know, I got that yellow balloon thing. I hadn't seen any in a while. And then I was in the mental institution. I saw a guy on a commercial blowing one up. He's, like, blowing up a yellow balloon. I was like, that's fucking weird. And then they watched some documentary on the occult one day in the room where you watch TV. It was really weird. It was talking about Aleister Crowley and stuff, and they were like, he's evil. And I had an Aleister Crowley shirt on in the mental institution because I was going to kill myself in an Aleister Crowley shirt. And I also was going to kill myself with my hood, you know, my hood hat like his. I put that on. I wanted to die in it. But yeah, I took my kids out to eat yesterday. Somebody, this little girl was having a birthday party, a yellow balloon. I was just like, you know, there might be a reason that I'm living, you know. So I'm just trying to be positive. I'm trying to change things about myself that I don't like, character flaws. I've worked on a lot of things. I used to study history. I used to study conspiracy theories. I used to study magic. But I never really studied, like, anything positive for working on my character flaws. And I think I let a lot of people down in the past. I probably haven't been the best boyfriend ever, but, you know, all I can do is try to make amends and just try to be a better person and live every day to its fullest. I took a homeless guy out to eat yesterday. That felt pretty good. I just want to do shit, good shit, and just hope it comes back. I don't know. That's the best I can do at this point. Yeah. You're at the bottom. Got to come up.
I had seen some of the stuff you had put on Facebook, and I wanted to be there as a friend and kind of respond, but I was in a I don't know why the last few weeks I was in a really, really heavy and dark headspace myself, and yeah. Was whatever. I just to be really bluntly honest, I mean, it's, you know, suicide is something. It's, you know, it's been on my mind for the last year, and trying to write a book, playing with those archetypes, exploring those archetypes, and I realized at some point as I got further into it and then pulled away from it and just kind of, instead of having a creative outlet for these things, just kind of having to bottle them up and different stuff, I realized I stopped at some points. Am I writing a suicide note? I had to, like, ask myself that seriously. And, I don't know, so I've been really, I was really depressed for the last few weeks. And then I, in that state, saw what you were writing, and I was just like, I don't know how I can possibly be there for this guy right now. And then you either broke first or had the balls first, I don't know, but, however you want to say that, but, then I was really happy to see the way you kind of bounced back from that, and you've been, you seem, and I don't know how much that's a struggle, but to keep it really positive and to, you said you came out of that experience with a really kind of appreciation for, hey, I have these, I have two children that I'd like to spend time with. I have reasons to live.
Yeah.
How did that bounce back sort of happen? Is that just a realization or an epiphany or et cetera?
You just, like, I have things bottled up, I'm not going to lie. And there's, like, some things, like, I haven't even mentioned, you know, to my girlfriend or anything because I just don't really care anymore. I'm just going to try to be a better person. There's some, you get so down, and then you're so tired of depression, and you're so tired of just doom and gloom and morbidness and being macabre and just, you know, and you just go, like, I don't want to do this anymore. It's obviously not working for me. You know, it leads to the road of death, you know what I mean? Which if I would have died, I would have died. I didn't really care. I mean, in a certain way, because I believe in something after this. I don't know what the fuck it is, but I've contacted spirits before, so I'm not too, I'm not too worried about dying. I don't really, my fear of death is zero. I don't know. When you're growing, you're living, you're going through, you're supposed to progress, you know what I mean? You're supposed to become a better person, not like bitter and cut off. I just didn't want to be like an asshole or a dickhead or whatever I was to people, you know what I mean? I just don't want to do it. I don't really have it in me.
But you, when you and I spoke a little earlier today, just to test out our Skype connection, you said to me, I really need to get back into my magic practice. I haven't done that in like 6 months.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, you're saying like this idea of being with this sort of macabre headspace, which I really sympathize with,
yeah.
More than most people realize. I guess what I'm asking is you don't associate the two. You're not saying, when you're saying this sort of really dark, deathly headspace, you see magic as you're still able to incorporate that in a positive way?
Yeah. I mean, like, the last thing I really did was I launched, I think, like, two angels. I found a book with angels in it, and it had the sigils and everything, and I launched them. But I think I launched them with a match pack instead of masturbation because I quit masturbating. So I don't really use that as part of my magic. I'm trying to find new ways that work, and it seemed like it paid off. I think, like, the biggest thing I did when I went in the mental institution the third time is I did that ritual Grant Morrison talks about invoking chronazon, and that's a heavy one. Like, if you got balls of steel, you better make sure you have, like, your head right when you do that. You know what I mean?
Are you talking about 333 chronazon, or however you pronounce that?
Yeah.
That thing has followed me around for the last, it's been about a year, actually. I think it came about this time last year. It has followed me everywhere for the last year. It's a tough one.
He's the dweller of the abyss, and basically what he does is he destroys your ego, and he's really the last obstacle between the adept and enlightenment. And egos, I guess, could serve their place, but I imagine, I'm pretty sure he destroyed my ego, super ego, and my id. Pretty sure all those are just hardly non-existent. I don't know if I should try to do that thing, that scaffolding or whatever that Grant Morrison talks about, you build your ego. I don't know if I should try to, I don't even know if I want an ego anymore. I don't know if it serves me any good purpose. But there was one point where Aleister Crowley had said he had called upon him, and then he turned him into a zebra and sold him to a zoo. So I would see zebra print everywhere, and then 333 everywhere. Like, you know, especially when I had bad days and stuff, and I was just like, man, I don't know if this is the right thing to do. So that one really, that one's a heavy one. You got to be careful when you're practicing magic. I do practice magic every day. I look at every day as magical. Michael Searson says, when you wake up in the morning and your eyes open, that's magic. Grant Morrison says, life plus significance is magic, equals magic. Alan Moore says, like, when you become a magician, you have to choose your words wisely because words have power. You can tell somebody something good about themselves and make them feel better. You can tell somebody something bad about themselves and make them feel worse. Words have power. Words are magic. So I do practice magic every day in that sense, but I have, it's been a while since I like had the right space since I moved in this new house. I used to have altars to all my gods and goddesses, and I used to worship all of them separately at different times when I needed whatever archetype to come through for me. And I don't have that at this house. It's not like I have shelves up. I don't have a magical workspace. I haven't used my cauldron in like forever, because I used to burn scents, you know, like at the altar, you know, because it's easier to do magic, especially like you have some dragon's blood or something like that, and you get that smelling in the air, and you know what I mean? You just really get in the takes your mind to a different place where you can alter it, you know, some, because I don't use drugs to alter my mind. I try to use like natural things, you know.
Yeah, I don't do any kind of ritual magic. I don't do any kind of sigil magic. I do definitely what you're talking about as far as life plus significance, and realizing that that's been a profound thing for me really since we started doing this show, is realizing that how much everything is in a sense a magical ritual, whether you call it that or not.
Putting on your shoes or whatever, yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. And
I always wear Nikes because I'm obsessed with the goddess Nike.
Okay, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Be victorious.
It reminds me of Heaven's Gate.
Oh, no. God. That's been coming up a lot lately.
I love that fucking guy. I used to have I had a button with him on it, the Apple White or whatever the hell his name is, and my girlfriend stole it from me at one point. I'm obsessed with him and Jim Jones.
I think I was in junior high, I took that classic image of him looking, I mean, he always looked wackadoo, but there was a shot that I was going around, and I put it on my ID card for school, and I was using it, and it was fucking with, I'm like, it's me, and they're like, you gotta take this off, and I was like, I'm under there, I swear, that's me, you know. Yeah.
That's fucking awesome.
It was right after it happened, too, so people didn't find it that funny.
Right.
Some people did, but, you know, that's the thing. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, no, sorry. Go ahead. I was just going to ask if anyone had a significance. I go do laundry at a place, and the address is 333. And it's kind of really, so it's every time I go to do laundry, I think about this, and it's this idea of, I guess it's the idea of purification and things like that. But I was just curious if, while you were talking about that, if there was anything, any extra significance for you there on a laundromat there.
They also say 333 is half evil. I think I might have wrote this in the sync book, but I got into triple digit numbers via Steve Jobs, because Steve Jobs was obsessed with triple digit numbers, and then reading about him being obsessed about it made me obsessed about it. And I always look for triple digit numbers. 777 is my number for everything. I got a lighter with 777 on it. That's probably, I might like
you,
that one.
Do you still live in Baltimore? Do you still live in Baltimore?
Yeah.
Do you know, man, I drove through Baltimore a few years ago. You have a casino. There was a billboard for a casino, and the billboard was 777, obviously like the jackpot, right?
Yeah.
But it says exit, the casino was exit 93.
It's up in Rising Sun, Maryland.
Yeah. So it's like 777. Yeah. Right, 777, exit 93. What the fuck?
I always drive by it. Whenever I go to Jersey or something, we always drive that way. We always go past 93, exit 93, and I always think of Aleister Crowley.
You know that Lieber Samek, the one that he started, and that it took him years? He got a phone call while he was doing a working from, or a message from Israel Regarde to meet up with him, and it was like the most important working of his magical career, and
it's called the Aberbellian ritual, and
Mage, are you talking about
something like that? Basically what the ritual that he was trying to do, it was when he was living in Loch Ness. He was trying to turn demons into angels. That's why I always say to people that are religious or something, I go, if you think he's such a bad guy, why would he take the time to turn demons into angels? And it takes like 6 months to do. And then like the third month, that's when that guy called and he went to help him over in England.
Well, there's the working of Abramelin the Mage, if I'm pronouncing that right. And then there's Libra Samech, and I believe they're connected, but that they're different things. Or maybe I might, if there's someone from the Golden Dawn listening to this, they'd probably be like, what the fuck are you talking about? But I think that that's what it is. Just the point being is that he stepped aside from the middle of a working, and it took, and then he eventually finished it, but there's years in between. And getting into his catalog, I've noticed a very blatant shift in his approach, and it all is like during that time. So, like when what was it? The one that he did that kind of his not analysis, but where he's going over the Book of the Law and where is it? I got it on my shelf somewhere. There's just basically he loses his humor for a bit. It's like not the same kind of thing. I mean, and if the humor is there, it's not like it was in like his early and later poetry. Like my favorite book of his is actually Magic Without Tears, because that's like at the end of everything. And it's hilarious. Like I laugh throughout that. It's just like his attitude really comes through, you know. I don't know.
Did you ever hear that Hall and Oates song? Did you ever hear that Hall and Oates song? You know Daryl Hall from Hall and Oates, the blonde hair one?
No, I don't think so.
He was a practicing. He was in Golden Dawn and Oak, right?
Yeah. And he's got a song called Magic Without Tears. It's a really cool song.
Around here as a like a indie comic, which is Henry Rollins and Danzig are gay.
Henry and Glenn.
Yes, exactly.
And they're Satanists and they live next door to him.
Right.
And it's weird because he really is kind of one. Like, one time when I went crazy, it was really weird. I don't know if I ever talked about this, but I was going crazy, kind of, and I was driving. I was supposed to be somewhere to work, and I just, like, wanted to let the world take me wherever it wanted to take me. So I just started going and just making whatever turn felt right. It was really weird. And I come across this building. It's the Discovery Building, Silver Spring. Got the craziest fucking mural on the side of it. I mean, like, it's like Denver Airport crazy. It's like this fucking astronaut, and he's standing on the moon, and he's holding the sun, and he's holding Mars in one hand, and he's got a burning heart. You can see his heart burning. And then it's like this woman tree thing, and then it's like this Earth with the computer chip in the middle of it. It's really fucking weird. If you ever get a chance to look that up, you can find it. Just it's the art on the Discovery Building in Silver Spring, Maryland. It was crazy. It was crazy. And I was like, I guess this is where I'm supposed to be and what I was supposed to see. I don't know.
Maybe it's a Jack Parsons think wink or something.
Yeah, I don't know. Did you read the sync book, the first one?
Uh-huh.
Did you read my part?
I did. I think I read it more than once.
I have a 37 tattooed on my arm for Jack Parsons because that's the age that he died at. I have a 72 tattooed on my arm for Aleister Crowley. I got 42 and 23 also. But I was asking when I first got into magic, I was asking Aleister Crowley if I could have 666 because he's no longer here, and I wanted him to send me a sign. And then my friend who works for NASA, I thought it was weird because it was NASA. So, like, think Jack Parsons and all their crazy rituals, him, the Pan, and all that jazz. Mm-hmm. And the plane said 66672. And 72 is the year that the age Aleister Crowley died at. And I was like, wow. Then I'm riding with my girlfriend, and I'm telling her this story when I first met her. And I'm like, you don't know, 66672 is like the best number ever for me because it meant so much to me because I was looking for it and I got it. And we go up on Pulaski Highway, the highway here, and we're driving and a bus pulls up next to us, in front of us, and it says 66672. I'm just like, that's how it works. And then I was explaining this to somebody about a month ago. And they were like, I don't believe in all that. I don't think it's, you know, whatever. And then we were driving home from my girlfriend's work, and a fucking car pulled in front of us. I posted on Facebook 66672. So this is the third time I've fucking seen that crazy number.
There's another thing in your chapter that we've discussed a number of times on this show. It's the idea of the Crookes tube. and the idea that the television, in a sense, is an outcropping of an attempt to contact spirits.
Definitely.
So do you take that in a literal...
makes that poltergeist thing way more creepier.
Exactly.
And also, I got into the how the stars, like the when the universe, Big Bang happened or whatever, you know, this first radiation is what you see, a percentage of that on the snow on the televisions we used to have. I mean, it's kind of interesting, you know, because it gives it a little bit more flavor.
Oh, I get you. So it's like you're picking up stray radio waves. You're almost tuning into the
beginning of the universe.
Yeah. Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it was weird. I had this TV in my kids' room, and I would hang out in my kids' room, and I had this little TV, and I remember I used to just sit there and watch Michael Sears on fucking videos and shit, and just be like, oh my god, I want to learn everything you know. And one day I was watching The Devil Rides Out. It's a Hammer movie, and the bad guy in it's based on Aleister Crowley, and they have like a Baphomet in it at some point. It's really fucking cool. And I was sitting there watching it, and I felt like I was communicating with Anton LaVey, and I was like, well, if you're so fucking great, why don't you send me a fucking number, you know, or send me a sync or whatever. And I was looking at the clock, and it was like 4:37. I was like, how about 37? I said that in my head. I swear on my life, on my kids, everything. I said that in my head. Like maybe 10 seconds later on the television, Devil Rides Out, he goes, there are 37 fouls here. I was just like, what the fuck? Then I found out that was the age Jack Parsons died at. So I just looked at it as Anton LaVey trying to Jack Parsons communicate with me. That's the way I look at it.
Huh.
I mean, like when I go to Starbucks, and there's a bunch of old Christians and Catholics that hang out there. I'm friends with all of them, but they're older, like in their 70s and somewhere in 30s. And they all have nicknames. Like everybody's got a name, Johnny Blaze and Pimp Daddy Senior. They got all these nicknames. And they nicknamed me like a year ago. My nickname's the Devil. So like when I go to my girlfriend's work, nobody calls me Chris at all. And, oh, the Devil's here.
Do you know who Johnny Blaze is, right?
Yeah, he's from Ghost Rider.
Yeah, he's the guy who gets possessed by a demon.
Yeah.
Do you know about the temple at Burning Man? Have you ever heard about it?
I hate Burning Man.
Well, have you ever? You obviously haven't been to Burning Man. If you go to Burning Man, you don't usually walk away feeling like you hate Burning Man. But I mean, Burning Man is like all these different things all at once, and there's things I like about it, and there's things I hate about it. But one thing that I really love about Burning Man is their temple, which is designed to be a way to communicate with people who have died in your life. So you have the intentions of literally thousands and thousands of people all being written on this temple, and people leave objects that are personal to the person that it's connected to, as a way to either, you know, most likely to release them, you know. It's kind of like acknowledging, the idea of purgatory, and whatever that, and also that we are connected to people who have passed on, and that there's no, and so because there's this much intention in one thing with this many people, I believe it really works. And so my grandfather shot himself in the head, who I'm actually named after. Speaking of Paul Moles, he used to smoke a lot of Paul Moles. you know, I my second year there, I had a friend take a pack of cigarettes and put it. My friend who built the temple, who actually designed the staircase for the middle of the temple, I had him put it above the stained glass, so when they burn it down, it'll be in the center of the thing, you know. And he put a sign with it, which I didn't ask him to put, that said, "Rest in peace, David." When I was leaving Burning Man, I had to leave in the before it had officially ended to set up an after party. And we drove right by the temple, which was surrounded by all these people who are silent. It's the only time during Burning Man where people are actually silent, though a lot of time people are telling people to shut up and shit because people are trying, you know. But you know, there's this giant fucking insane whirlwind of dust that was there was that was like emerging from the temple as we were leaving, and everyone talked about it afterwards. If people talked about what the temple burn was like that year, they're like, "Did you see that giant fucking whirlwind that came out of it? It was just crazy. It was
Like a sand tornado?
yeah, a sand tornado." And yeah, it was
Wow.
fucking trippy. But it just so
Fantastic.
happened that as I was leaving the playa, that's what I saw was my last vision, and was like,
Yeah,
"Whoa."
that's really cool. Yeah, we went to Salem last month. Me and my girlfriend, we went to Salem, Massachusetts. I picked up some books. It was pretty cool. But they in this one New Age shop, they had like this whole altar, and it had Baphomet on it. I wanted it so fucking bad. It was so expensive. It was like $200. I love Baphomet. It's like probably one of my favorite archetypes. And it had Baphomet on it, and like a bunch of other things like statues. And I had a cup or whatever, and you write down the person that you love's name. You fold it up and you put it in there. You know, the person that's been passed on. And my girlfriend like put a cigarette in there and like something else for her dad. That's pretty cool though. But what I do is, I like years like 2 years ago or a year ago, I used to try to do something significant with a certain one, and then try to find something to give it to a dead relative. My uncle died at 42, so that's another reason why I have 42 in my life. And he was like my best friend. He's a great guy. He told me what he wanted played at his funeral when he died. It worked out great because he died, and then I could play what he wanted. And it was Led Zeppelin.
Nice.
But
What was it?
it was
Stairway?
a song called
Oh.
it was a song called Thank You, and he said it reminded him of his ex-wife. And like, I'm just glad he told me because he died, and I got her to actually read the words to it at his funeral.
Oh, wow.
And he was obsessed with Eddie Money. You know Eddie Money, Two Tickets to
Oh,
Paradise guy?
yeah.
Yeah. He was obsessed with Eddie Money. He like modeled his whole life after Eddie Money, dressed like Eddie Money, just his favorite music. Every time he got in the car, was fucking Eddie Money. So Eddie Money came to Baltimore, and my girlfriend had bought me that the Beavers 42 shirt, yellow. It's like the back,
The Teen
I mean,
Wolf.
Teen Wolf. Yeah. And I wore that, and I took a picture with Eddie Money. And I went and took the Eddie Money and me with the 42, took the 42, folded it up. I loved it, but I had to retire it. And I laid it on his grave. You know what I mean? Like offer, like as an offering.
Did you catch that? That's
So
Michael
I
J. Fox. So that's because it's Fox. It's 666 in 42. Do you get what I'm saying?
What now?
Because Michael J. Fox
What?
is the one wearing the 42 Beavers shirt
Yeah.
in Teen Wolf.
Yeah.
And Fox,
Yeah.
you know, F is the sixth letter of the alphabet, O is the 15th, 5 plus 1 is 6, X is the 24th, 2 plus 4 is 6, so Fox is 666. So it's Michael J. Fox wearing a 42. I'm just pointing it
Yeah, I've seen. I deleted all my blogs. I wish I hadn't. I had a lot of good stuff that used to happen to me, but I just deleted them all like an idiot. And John King said, like, "You're gonna regret it," and I was like, "Yeah, I
Probably.
do regret it."
We read, my girlfriend and I read a blog that you'd posted quite a while ago that you were talking about the psychologist who wrote all the things on evolutionary kind of biology in terms of development, and you were talking about how you were seeing two women at the time. And that you were talking about how women are attracted to women, like evolution wise.
Yeah.
You went through this whole thing. I remember I read that whole thing, and then I gave it to my girlfriend to read, and then she read it, but she had read it in school to become a psychologist. So she was familiar with that guy pretty well, though he's pretty fringe, you know. It's like.
He's probably one of my favorite people on the planet Earth, and there you can talk to him for a certain amount of money. You can talk to him for like 30 minutes or something. And we'll always think, if I got the money, I want to try to do that
What's his name?
because I'd love to pick his brain.
Do you know his name?
I mean, he's amazing.
Do you remember his name?
Ron Joseph? Ron Joseph, I think.
Okay.
The best thing he's got this 6-part series on the brain. You will literally learn everything you ever wanted to know the brain, like aphasia, just like disorders and lobotomies and just everything, how the brain works. It's called brainmind.com. But he's got a lot of stuff on Hitler being gay, like how he thinks Hitler was gay and stuff.
Oh, well,
Or he's
everyone
got
knows that. If they don't know that, they're in total denial. You can see
yeah.
it.
There's more stuff he gets into astrobiology. like panspermia and stuff. You're familiar with that?
Yeah, a little
Yeah,
bit.
he does a lot of, yeah, he does a lot on that too. So, I mean, he's all over the place and everything he's into is like insane. I mean, I'd like to meet him. I'd like to meet Ken Wilber. I'd like to meet a lot of people, to be honest with you. I've met some people that I wanted to meet. I met Jesse Ventura. I talked to him about FEMA camps. I've met Martin Sheen. He's in the Sync book. I tell my story about him. I gave him a Bush button with a Hitler mustache back in 2003, that was. So I've been against Bush before it was cool. I mean, I remember like 2003, like, you know, you'd start talking about stuff and whatnot. They would literally, people would clam up and you could tell they like wanted to call the FBI or the CIA. For years, my brother told me I was going to get black bagged. And he doesn't let me talk about stuff in his store. Like if I'm with him, he doesn't let me talk about anything like that. I can't talk about the JFK assassination. I can't talk about, you know, anything, occult or anything. Because he honestly thought I was going to get black bagged. Because for a while I was getting real heavy there. I mean, I met Graham Hancock and Daniel Pinchbeck. Got a picture with them. It's like one of my favorite pictures, even though I hate them both. And I got an ar
I'm glad that's
yeah,
like a
I got an argument with Graham Hancock, and I'm sure I won the argument. But he just kept skirting around the issue. But I was arguing about ancient astronaut theory, and he's trying to shit on ancient astronaut theory with his Atlantean theory, and I'm just like, about the 250 genes not found in lower life, you know, lower species or whatever. And he's like, oh, and he says, a banana and a human have whatever. And he's talking about DNA, not genes. He's fucking dumb. He's dumb. And then they asked Daniel Pinchbeck, they asked him about chemtrails. Somebody goes, hey, what about chemtrails? He goes, there's some things I don't touch, and chemtrails is one of them. It's like Nostradamus for
He
me.
said
You
the
fucking
same
faggot.
thing. We had booked him for a talk at my Burning Man camp, and he said the same thing when the subject came up. He really was disrespectful to a lot of the people who were asking questions and stuff. I was really amazed. We don't need to
He's
get
an
into shit.
asshole.
He's an easy person to talk shit about, though. He gives you
Yeah.
plenty of space to do that. But I would
Oh yeah,
really
he's got it.
go
Huh? He's got
ahead.
that documentary. It's fucking horrible, dude. It's like so like it's pure ego. And he's got the guy who invented the Euro on it and shit. Like
I was jealous of
that's not
him.
a positive thing.
I was really jealous of him when he got to talk to Jodorowsky. I'm like, dude, I
Who's
was
that?
Alejandro Jodorowsky did the Holy Mountain and El Topo. Just like
Yeah, try watching
incredible
it. I couldn't make
fucking
it
director, probably best director who's
through.
ever lived. And he's walking around Paris with him, yakking about ayahuasca and aliens and shit. And like everything Jodorowsky responds with is just like so much more like evolved and intelligent. And like he's just like he schools his ass on relationships and everything. He's like, do you tell your girlfriend you love her? You know? He's like, do you get her flowers? Do you like real practical shit? And he, because you know, he's like going into these areas and he's just like, you know, it's good to be old. It's good to you know, get as old, be as old as you can get to, you know, like he just has this very like I don't know, very mature understanding of things, having fucking been through everything a person can be through pretty much, you know. I was really impressed, but then I was like, dude, I want to fucking hang out with Jodorowsky, man. I want to meet Lars von Trier. I would love to meet Lars von Trier. I didn't
Who's that?
It's another director. I'm really into certain directors, especially those who like are really into the occult and it's apparent, you know. Lars von Trier was a director who believed he was Jewish for his entire life and found out in 1994 from his mother on her deathbed, who was in her 90s, that the man who he thought was his father was not actually his father. And that not only was his father not Jewish, like he was led to believe, but that his father was German and a Nazi sympathizer at that, who was a composer. And so she
Wow.
had had him from her employer for his genes. So he was just like, what the fuck? I'm just here for my, like, I was born for my genes. Like, and here I thought I was Jewish. And so, he had a breakdown after that, went into a institution, mental hospital for a really long time and came out and had this vision of a trilogy that he wanted to make. First Antichrist, with Willem Dafoe and Charlotte Gainsbourg, and then a film called Melancholia with Kirsten Dunst. You may have heard of that one. And now he's following it up with a film called nymphomaniac. And I just, I like his whole approach, just like he did this thing, after he found that out, and he emerged from it, really with some heavy hitting shit. And so I would just love to talk to him, especially because I believe Melancholia was most likely meant to go in sync with the album Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness, which is quite a feat. I showed it to Alan when he visited. It's pretty fucking incredible. So I just want to pick his brain, Like I'd love to meet certain people, That's really cool that you've gotten the chance to meet a couple people and have some actual communication rather than them just being an image on a screen,
Yeah, me and Sheen talk Gandhi and all kinds of shit. We talk every time I worked with him. I got a couple pictures with him, not just one. I acted until 2006. And the last movie I did was really weird. It was my one and only with Kevin Bacon and Renee Zellweger. And they put me as I was supposed to be a basketball player, walk down the hall with Logan Lerman, the Percy cat. And they put me at the end of the hallway, and I'm just like this silhouette. And there's a guy mopping up the floor, and it's like me walking, and I'm like a silhouette. And then there's two windows in the door, and both the windows look like the Twin Towers. And that's the last thing I ever did. It was really weird. And then it was weird about a month ago. I met this guy like 2 years ago on Secret Sun on Christopher Knowles' site, and his name's Evan. You guys might be friends with him. I think you are. And I added him and stuff, and then he posted a picture a couple months ago in Baltimore, and I'm like, that's near my house. And he's like, I'm in Baltimore, it's where I live. And I was like, what the fuck? And he's like, I direct and write and all this shit. And I was like, that's fucking crazy. I used to act, we're just like, like flipping out, like, because it's crazy, right? And then he called me last month and was like, do you want this part in my movie? And I'm like, I don't know if I want to do that anymore. And then I said, fuck it, let's do it. And the film, like 2 weeks ago, we filmed one day. He wore my hat with the devil horns on it and shit. And he like even had close-ups on my 666. It was really cool. But I don't know what's happening with the movie. Something happened with funding or something. So I don't know. But I'm trying to get back into acting. I'm trying to get back into magic. There's a lot of things I want to get back into to occupy myself.
Do you see a difference, especially considering, again, the Crookes tube, the idea that I think we all probably agree here that art is magic.
Yeah.
Do you see a distinction between acting and magic in the sense of if you were to do this, this is basically engaging in another type of ritual?
You could look at it like that.
Oh, I'm
You
asking
could
if
look
you,
at it.
no, I'm not trying to put that on you. I'm asking,
Yeah.
is that how you look at it? Or do you see it as this is a skill I have, or just as
It's
an actor?
Just like it's like stepping outside yourself and getting to play with being a different type of person, but trying to find the things you have in common with the character. And that's why I can't do things that are too far gone, because if I can't find anything in common in real life, I'm not going to be good at doing it acting. I know that sounds stupid because you're like, you're an actor, you should just act. I'm just like, I'd rather find something that I can relate to, even if it's like friends that I can relate to and I can borrow from their personality. I mean, like, well, when I'm in movies, sometimes people will have little nuances on set that they do, and I'll put it into the character. Like this one guy used to scratch his balls all the time, so I put it into my character. Like, always adjust my pants. Humphrey Bogart's in this one movie, and he does nothing but pull on his ear the whole movie. He pulls on his ear. It's really weird. But it's just like you want to have like little tics and weird things so people like find it more interesting than just watching somebody act. It's kind of the way I feel.
Sometimes it could be NLP signals to get people to do things when they get the proper brainwashing.
Oh, Chris is
No.
brainwashing
I'm just saying, I wonder sometimes when I see particular kinds of movements that are kind of odd in particular kinds of films. I don't know. I speculate sometimes on possibilities of some of the high weirdness that could be going on around things like that.
You gotta be careful with that because there's like people like, I don't know, MK Culture, I think it's called. And what was the other name? I can't remember the name.
Are
But
you
they
talking
were
about
really
the
heavy into that, like,
blogger MK Culture?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I used to like some of their stuff and everything, and I know a lot about brainwashing from Jim Jones and Timothy Leary and reading all that kind of shit. And there's this really good book. Fuck, it's called Mind Control. I think I want to say the guy's name's Jim Kelly or something, but he's got these really weird books on mind control. They're really good. I read like a good bit of one of them. And you know that they do that, but I don't know to what degree, because then sometimes like them girls would be posting the Kitty Chick and the MK Culture. I deleted them both because they kept posting shit like it was a Britney Spears video and somebody had on a striped shirt and they're like, oh, that striped shirt. I've been on movie sets.
Hello,
I've been in movies.
we just lost
I
you.
think we did just lose him.
Oh, he was about to expose the Illuminati
I
secrets.
know, that's what happened. He just got black bagged.
Oh,
He's hit.
Chris, are you there?
Your pentagram is down below our floor. Your naked body shimmers in the night. Dancing and chanting in a sacrificial rite. Your feet are dry with the ashes from dead babies who have passed the test just like all the rest, but never really understood the reasons why they took it in the first place. Turquoise and silver won't weaken this old heart. Yeah, dancing and chanting in a sacrificial rite. I fell to the ground on a windy, windy night. Well, I have passed the test just like all the rest, but never really understood the reasons why I took it in the first place. Took it in the first place.